ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis, the host of the ABC's politics podcast, Politics Now. The budget was the pitch. This week, the real test begins. Can Anthony Albanese and Jim Chalmers land their key measures? Or will Parliament force Labor back to the negotiating table? We're watching the deals, the pressure points, and the political consequences. The final biffo before the big winter break. We'll bring you up to date on Politics Now. Follow on ABC Listen so you never miss an episode.
One of the hottest stocks on the ASX this year is 4D Medical. Its share price has gone from 25 cents a year ago to $4.50 now, and it's currently worth around about $2.7 billion. And its founder and CEO, Andreas Fouras, owns about 15% of that, so $400 million worth. Fouras is a mechanical engineer who was working on wind tunnels at Monash University and had this realization that he could use the technology to measure airflow and blood flow in the human body. 20 years later, he now spends most of his time in the United States selling this technology that he invented to American hospitals for a huge markup. And he's going in the footsteps of another Australian radiology technology company, Pro Medicus, that's also doing very well. So Andreas Fouras joined us this week to tell us about his invention, how it works, and how it's going in the United States and now in Europe, and when it'll be released in Australia. And also what he thinks of the new capital gains tax rules for startups like his. So here's Andreas Fouras, the founder and CEO of 4D Medical. Well, g'day Andreas Fouras. Thanks for joining us on That's Business.
It's a real pleasure, Alan.
So let's start with the original idea for 4D Medical. You were researching wind tunnels at Monash University, I think. When was that and what were you doing exactly?
Well, it was quite some time ago, Alan, in the 90s, and I was a young academic there and in the field of mechanical engineering, looking at trying to understand how we could make vehicles, aircraft more efficient. And so the part of that was putting them in a wind tunnel, and I was developing technology that would allow us to image those the airflow and to see where there was turbulence and where there was drag and so on these vehicles.
And when did you realize that you could apply that to lungs?
I think around about 98, I had this opportunity and had visited.
What do you mean an opportunity?
I was there at the university, and as I progressed through, I started having the chance to spend more and more time, with people doing different things there. It's one of the great things about universities. And so I started being able to have the chance to hang out with folks from medicine. And then, that sort of rolled through until about 2005, actually. I was, sitting in a Friday afternoon seminar, and, there was someone there talking about blood flow going through the body. And I thought to myself, well, I measure flow for a living. I wonder if I can help with that.
So the original idea that you had in that seminar was that you could actually measure or observe blood flow, not just air.
Yeah, that's right. That's where it started. I think there's obviously blood flows through basically every part of the body, and that was an exciting moment. But it was also, I think, a realization that there were lots of people working on things like, for example, heart health and other parts of the body, and that lungs seems to have been a little bit of a forgotten space. I think the technology that doctors have available for them to see what's going on in the lungs really has fallen behind what there's all kinds of neat scans today for the heart and for the brain and so on. And I think that really seemed to be the point of biggest opportunity where we could make the biggest difference.
So how did you go about turning that into a business?
Started having a lot of conversations with doctors. It's like, so, because I guess one of the things that that I've seen as an engineer. There's a lot of engineers out there who have developed technology that they think is cool or fun or solves something that's important to them. But what I think, you know, is sort of as the key idea behind a successful business is that you're solving your customers' problems. And so I spent a lot of time talking to doctors. What is it that you do? What is it that's holding you back? How would you like to have a better understanding of what's happening inside of your patient's lungs?
So can you describe the actual technology that's at the foundation of 4D Medical?
Sure, I'd love to. So I think that kind of wind tunnel idea of measuring movement, measuring motion is at the core of it. And that differs from what's there today, Alan, in that, you know, normally today if you want to do medical imaging of the lungs, it's really a picture of how your lungs look, and doctors then take that picture of how your lungs look and they use their skill and experience to infer, oh, this looks damaged here, or this looks clogged here, and so on. And they then infer where the lungs or how the lungs won't work as well as they should from a picture of how they look. So, you know, in the sort of the medical parlance, that's, you know, doctors look at the structure and they infer the function. What 4D Medical does is we cut straight to the chase and we measure or we image the function. So we image the blood flow, we image the airflow, and we show the doctors there without them having to make that inference. And we've been able to show that that's really, you know, that's really a lot more powerful. And so I think, you know, a sort of a simple analogy I can give is, I think if you can imagine that you had a tracker that showed how every leaf in a giant tree was moving around in the wind, that with the right software, you would be able to then work out, you could kind of go backwards and say, okay, well, where is the air flowing through that tree? I think that by starting from a different position, by starting from the view of tracking how every little part of the lung in tens of thousands of places within the lung, we track the motion. And from that, we are able to see that, for example, when air goes into one part of the lung, every part of that in that area is expanding, so it's all moving away. And there's also a movement signature that you get for when blood flows into that area as well.
So do you take a video of it? Do you?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the technologies that we have. Uses an X-ray video camera and videos the lungs as they move, and that gives this really neat four-dimensional view of the lungs. But you know, at the same time, right now today, the CT scan or the CAT scan is really the kind of the dominant force in medical imaging. It's the workhorse today. And, you know, as I was saying, it's before, you know, you really have to be where your customers are, and they're sitting on the CT scanner. So what we leverage is, you know, almost a video, I guess, the world's shortest video, in that it's pretty standard in lung imaging to ask patients to take two CAT scans. So you breathe in, take a breath, and then you breathe out and they take an image. Then when you breathe out, they take a second image. So we have those two images, which is, you know, at least the first step towards being a video.
Right. Okay. So you're using existing CAT scanners, and you've written software that kind of does it in a different way. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that's a kind of a really neat angle that 4D Medical comes down, which is that we provide technology that ordinarily would or should require the doctor to buy a new type of scanner, right? But what we've been able to work out how to do is how to take our software, combine it with a CAT scan that's already there, and give them the benefits of a completely new scan, but without the doctors having to go out, you know, and buy, you know, there's billions of dollars of CT infrastructure across Australia and the rest of the world. So by putting our software on top of that, it and means they don't have to buy or build a new scanner, you know, gives them the advantage they need. It's great for us as a business because they can be using it today, and it's great for them because they don't have to all go and buy a new scanner and find a new room to put it in.
Did you have to raise a lot of money to get this going?
Look, it has taken some time and some support from investors, but you know, we started our first capital raising in 2013 when we kicked off the business, and we've had, I think, initially a group of supporters who were there primarily about looking to make a difference in lung health. I think that was a kind of a key driver a lot of our early investors, and over time though that's progressed. And as folks have seen, not just the opportunity to make a big difference in healthcare, but the opportunity for this to be, you know, a really successful business as well. You know, we've had growing support, and I think we had really good retail investor support for a number of years, and then over the last year or so, we're starting to get, you know, the big Aussie and global funds, you know, getting behind the business as well.
Well, you're selling the product in the US and signing up hospitals there. How many hospitals have you signed up?
The thing that we're most proud of is we've signed up six contracts with five of the biggest and best known brand names in the United States, including Stanford, Mayo, Cleveland. So really these top tier names. They're also, not only are they the types of places that drive the future, but also they're really big hospitals as well. And then we recently signed up another account, you know, that's starting to put some scale in behind that, an imaging chain of 170 imaging centers across 10 states. So, you know, I think that, you know, just showing that strategy of getting the brand name support, getting the key opinion leader support, which has been our key commercialization strategy for this product, you know, starting to bite in as, you know, to give us some scale behind the business as well.
So I think you're getting reimbursed by Medicare and Medicaid. How much do they pay for these scans?
So, you know, we're on a great reimbursement there. It's $650 per scan, and that goes as is standard. You know, that goes to the hospital, and you know, we've been we share some of that money with the hospital, and we ask the hospital to pay us $500 for delivering the test. And so, you know, that anchors some money flowing into the hospital. But one of the great things about the technology and you know what we've been able to learn over the last dozen or so years, Alan, is we really learned how to fit this into workflows at the hospital such that it's more efficient to deliver the rest of the healthcare that wraps around it. And you know, if you just bear with me for a moment, you know, one of the key uses for our technology is as the pre-imaging before procedures like a surgery. And you know, we've been able to show that we can really make those surgeries much more efficient. For example, we can avoid certain procedures where there's a very low chance of it being successful for the patient. So we can add thousands of dollars of value. The hospital gets that 150 that's obvious there between the gap between the 650 they get and the 500 we get, but they also get you know, tremendous value by increasing the efficiency of the healthcare they deliver.
And does anybody pay out of their own pocket, or is everything reimbursed either by the government or by private insurance?
In the US, it's all in the strong majority of cases, it's on that reimbursed pathway. But you know, there are occasionally some doctors and patients who choose to go down self-payment pathways, and you know, the technology is available. But I think it's really best to consider it as you know, all of it coming down through that CMS reimbursement or private insurers offering a similar insurance.
Well, why does anyone choose to pay themselves? Is it because they're just not insured and they don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid? Is that what happens?
I think that you know, there can often be you know, US health insurance, Alan, is one of the most perplexing things. And you know, I've been living in the States now spending a lot of time in the States now for 10 years, you know, so that I can really have a keen understanding of how that healthcare system works. And you know, I will get offers, you know, oftentimes when a doctor will call me up and say, look, I think this would be in your best interest for you to pay this for yourself out of pocket. The insurer isn't going to cover it, but this is why it's a good idea for you to do that. And from time to time, I'll take them up on that.
Right. I mean, it's from where we sit over here, it seems like a terrible system in the US.
Look, it's pretty scary, but I guess on the upside, the big flows of money do encourage innovation and innovative technologies like ours. But I certainly think the Australian consumer is sitting in a pretty good spot getting healthcare the way it's structured over here in Australia.
How much do you sell it for in Australia, by the way?
Yeah. So look, we're still working on that because we have a few extra months. It takes a few extra months here to get the TGA approvals. It's pretty standard to get approvals over in the US and Europe and then use those to leverage getting approval here. So we're still in front of the regulator right now. So we have a little bit more time, but I can assure you it won't be $650 or $500 per scan over in Australia.
Oh, it won't be. Is that right?
No, it'll be a little cheaper over here. Yeah.
Do you think the Australian regulations are a bit too difficult for getting technology like yours into hospitals and doctors' offices and so on?
We certainly wish it was a little easier to get our technology here. I think that certainly we see companies in the US have hometown advantage. We see European companies that have hometown advantages in Europe. And we don't really feel any hometown advantage here in Australia. But nevertheless, we will be successful in Australia. We're absolutely committed to it. And as we've gotten attention in Europe and the US, that is making it easier to bring the technology here into Australia.
Andreas, you're a startup. There's a lot of debate going on in Australia now about the effect of the new capital gains tax rules on startups. What do you think of them?
Look, I think that, Alan, that companies like 4D Medical and other healthcare startups in particular, but startups across the sector have added billions of dollars to the Australian economy. And certainly from my perspective, I'm not asking for any kind of a leg up for our sector. I don't think that's appropriate. But what I think would be great would be a level playing field. And so right now, in particular, when competing for investors, there are parts of the investor economy that, for example, give fully franked dividends. So there's a tax benefit there. There's certainly been tax benefits in housing for a long time. And I think, either whether it's through CGT or through patent boxes or through R&D tax credits, I think, leveling out the playing field so that the growth end of the economy also has some excitement and that it's not, that the impetus isn't all driven down to the revenue and dividend part of the economy. And I think I'm sure policymakers would like to see growth not be overlooked in our current economy.
You must have got a lot of R&D tax credits, though.
We have, but of course, all of those credits come from investments made. We have a big R&D team here that's building a resource here in Australia, and that's going to be leading to millions and over time billions of dollars of exports, all from here in a sustainable way.
So, how much does it cost you? You get $500 US. How much does it cost you?
It's about $4 per scan to deliver the technology. So it's relatively low cost, but of course, that sits on top of the time and years it's taken to do the R&D to build the technology.
Yeah, but that's an unbelievable margin. $4 cost, $500 revenue. I mean, it's almost a risky margin, isn't it? I mean, at some point, the government in the US is going to say, hang on, what are we doing paying this outfit $500? When it costs them four.
Well, we that's why we're working really hard to build the evidence to show just how much value we add. And I guess they could go back to using the old tech in which they lose tons of money, or they can pay us effectively $500 and get thousands of dollars of value. I think that's really the key, is to show that with pretty much anything in business, right, is if you can show that someone's better off by paying you to do it your way, then, if it's in their own self-interest to do it, they'll do it. And one example is we recently, there was a study that just came out showing that using this technology as planning for a specific surgery, an LVRS, a lung volume reduction surgery, increases the rate of positive outcomes from that surgery from 46% to 76%. So it's a really big healthcare, economic, and human benefit for using the technology that's well in advance of the $500 that we collect for doing our part of that.
And how many of these scans are done in the US? What's the market look like?
Yeah, there's right now today, there's about 1 million scans a year done of this type. And, we think that there's opportunity to maybe grow that market by as much as 50%. So right now we're very confident of a million. And, of course, that that's very exciting, because that'd be a $500 million opportunity for touching a million lives a year, and as you said, it really at really attractive margins. But there's we see opportunities to take that. We recently opened offices in Europe. We're here obviously committed to Australia, and also we see opportunities to replace other scans. So right now we have the only technology that allows somebody to see airflow and blood flow in the human body without putting anything in there. Normally to see airflow, you need to breathe in some kind of gas or powder, or normally to see blood flow, you require some kind of injection. And those injections are either radioactive or perhaps, have some other health risks associated. And, that million scans is really just the tip of the iceberg. We have other scans. There's another scan that we're working really hard now to build out a clinical trial to show that we can replace that as well. And there's 5 million a year of those type of tests. So, lots of healthcare revolves around seeing the blood flow. And I think we can be a big part of all of that.
So there's obviously tons of profit margin in this. So are other companies in the US now trying to do this? Have you got, what's your patent protection like?
We've got 120 patents and growing. So, we think that's obviously when you have the types of margins that we have and the opportunities that we have, it certainly does encourage competition. And we know there are folks who are looking at it and trying to see what they can do. But I think the patents is one really good part of the protection. Another layer of protection is, we've already gone through the effort of the clinical trials and FDA approval. And if someone else was to enter the market, they would have to step through those things. And finally, we've gotten pretty good at doing this. We're moving quickly. And, as for example, as I said, right now today, we're addressing this opportunity to replace the first million scans. There's the next target that we already have our eyes on and are working towards that. We have a large clinical trial being done at some of the best hospitals in the world to prove that out. So I think even if someone was to show up tomorrow, they could somehow get past our 100 plus patents that have to get past the FDA, and they'd discover that we're already onto the next thing. So I think having that combination of patent protection and moving quickly, I think is a really powerful way to keep the competition at bay.
Is there any risk in Donald Trump, do you think, waking up one day and saying, hang on, what's going on here? This Australian company making all this money from us, he's a bit unpredictable, isn't he?
Look, I think it can be hard to predict where the administration's going, but we have strong ties to the United States. And as an example, there's an opportunity that we've been pitching recently to the US military, something that I think could be really incredibly beneficial to the US military. I spent some time in the Australian Army Reserve here in Australia, and also have a good connection to a range of other folks in the US. And I think that's just an example of how we can be showing that we're good global citizens. We add value to US healthcare, not just on a patient by patient basis, but also I think this idea of being able to scan veterans who have been overseas on military service, have inhaled materials that might have damaged their lungs, and we offer, right now pretty much the only easy, safe test that can detect disease that a number of them have.
Do you think about ethics of this big markup that you've got?
We do. I think we really take this idea of being a positive contributor to healthcare where we are. And I think that right now the lungs are a space that's been left behind, and there are millions of healthcare decisions every day that are happening in the United States and in fact around the world where doctors don't have the best quality information available to them to make really important decisions for patients. And so, we're building a company that provides that information, and as the bedrock for our continued existence here in this ecosystem, and us being able to continue to provide that kind of information to doctors, we take a, a fee that allows us not only to be sustainable as a business, but to, you know, as I said, to continue to innovate and create even, you know, better and more advanced technologies that can help, you know, really become the future of lung health.
Are you going to release it in poorer countries that can't afford $650 US?
Absolutely. I think we're going to be, you know, we're going to be there, you know, delivering the technology at local prices that make sense in those local markets. And, you know, I think that will be, we already know that in Europe, for example, it's going to be something of the order of probably about half as much as gets billed in the US. And I think, you know, in Australia, it may even be less than that again. And certainly around other parts of the world, you know, we'll be in a position to find sensible pricing that makes sense in each of those markets. And we have the capacity to do that because, you know, we have a very low cost of delivery.
Yeah. In fact, you could charge $10 per scan and still make 100% margin.
That's theoretically possible. I think we can continue to do that. I think if you have a look though at US healthcare, which is, I think currently, you know, US healthcare currently sits at something like 17% of GDP of the, you know, biggest economy in the world. If we pulled that $490 out from every test that we're asking to get paid, we really wouldn't be making a difference to the cost of healthcare, and we'd threaten our sustainability. And you know, I think it's pretty common that the US is the market that funds these types of innovations, like 4DMedical creates.
You're following in the footsteps of another Australian company that's been selling radiology software in the United States, ProMedicus. Have you learnt much from them? And is Australia getting a name in the United States and elsewhere globally for this kind of thing?
So yeah, I mean, I think Australia does have a great reputation in the United States. I think we've, you know, for a range of reasons, Australians are known to be good friends of the US, and, you know, Americans like Australians. But particularly in this space, and ProMedicus has been a trailblazer here, and you know, we have learned an awful lot from them, watching them how they've done a great job of taking technology there, you know, and blazing a trail in the US. And I think you know, I certainly have to thank the folks there at ProMedicus. You know, not only have they been showing us from a distance, but they've been generous with their time, sharing advice and input to us as to how we can win in that US radiology market. So we're certainly grateful to them for the support they've shown us, advice given us over the last few years.
What was the best lesson you got from ProMedicus?
I think, you know, it's really just comes down to this core simple idea of how do doctors make their decision to buy technology or to buy a product? And the number one way they do that is they look to somebody else that they like or they trust in the medical field, and they'd like to follow in their footsteps. So if you can have, you know, big name doctors at a conference standing up at a podium talking about how much they love your technology, or if you get permission to, you know, to tell your other customers and say, hey, look, the good folks at Cleveland Clinic are using this technology, you know, the folks at Mayo are looking at this technology, and so on, that really you know, that really opens doors. It gives them faith and confidence that they too can step in behind those big names, you know, folks who have the time and energy to do the really heavy due diligence. I think that simple idea has been, you know, really has proven to be incredibly successful for ProMedicus, and I think it's really showing that it's being incredibly powerful for us as well.
Is it also the case that the hospitals, that the $150 that the hospitals make, is that that's more than they used to make from their previous technology? Is that right? I mean, so the hospitals are in favour of it because they're making more money out of it.
I mean, yes, I think that's the simple truth. I mean, I think the really simple way I can say that, Alan, is that you can attract a doctor's attention by saying, hey, we've got this technology that's going to be better for your patients. It's going to make you a better doctor and you have better patient outcomes. And then when they sit down for the meeting and you can tell them that not only is that true and hear how that's true, but they can also make more money at the same time, it really helps close the deal.
I'm sure it does. And what's the situation in Europe? Is it similar to the US? What's the price you're going to get in Europe, and how does the system work?
So I think there's a number of differences in healthcare in the US and pretty much the rest of the world. But at the top tier level, the same ideas are at play. We can create better outcomes for patients, and we can help doctors to make more money or to pay the bills as they go through on that process. There's a few more people in Europe, about 400 million versus say 300 million people who have insurance in the US. We'll make a bit less, a fair bit less per scan, we expect. So to get us out to somewhere, when it all evens out, we think the opportunity in Europe is about half the size of the opportunity in the United States when you level out those factors.
That's because the European Commission's reimbursement rate, whatever it is going to be, less than 650 US, right? I mean,
that's absolutely the case. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So I'm still kind of a bit gobsmacked. I mean, how did they come up? How did the government, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, come up with $650? Where does that come from?
Look, I think for us, the key thing that we are doing to differentiate ourselves from a lot of other technology that sits in the medical imaging space is, the CMS reimbursement for a CAT scan of the lungs is about $105, right? And there are folks out there selling technology to radiologists or to medical imaging sites saying, we can add 10% efficiency to, we can add 20% efficiency to the process of doing this CAT scan. And so, 20% of $105 is obviously about $21, and say, okay, why don't we split this with the hospital? Give us 10 and you get sort of 11 of benefit. Where 4D Medical differs is we've been pointing to and showing how we add value downstream of the imaging. The imaging is just the start of the chain. If you get treatment, drugs cost tens of thousands or more over the lifetime of a drug such as a pulmonary fibrotic drug, or a surgery for emphysema is $50,000, or if you're really at the extreme end of things, a lung transplant in the United States is a $600,000 procedure. So where by adding value to these, really expensive parts of healthcare, by attaching ourselves not to the diagnosis, but to the treatment and the better outcome for the patient, we create a really clear argument that shows that it's value for money to be giving us $650 per scan.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Andreas Forrest. It's been fascinating. Thanks.
It's been a real pleasure, Alan. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining me on That's Business. You can find That's Business on the ABC Business Daily feed every Friday. And so you don't miss out, make sure you follow ABC Business Daily on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts. And make sure you tell your friends about us if you like what you're hearing. Carrington Clark will be back with the ABC Business Daily team on Monday.